outside lane respectively, Dave, but they've got a lot of work to do to catch up.
Long way to go, but not much time to get there. Corey LaJoy continues to try and storm the outside with help from Stenhouse. Stenhouse gets pushed way up the track in front of Logano.
Corey LaJoy currently in position number 9. Joey Logano trying to advance as well in that outside lane behind Stenhouse and LaJoy.
That top lane now starting to get more formed up. Corey LaJoy, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Joey Logano trying to push it forward. Meanwhile, you've got Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer, and others stuck in the middle.
There's a gaggle of impatient drivers from about the ninth place on back. That's where they're stacked up 2 and 3 wide. Corey LaJoy holds that lane right now with everybody breathing down his neck headed to 1.
The moves are becoming more dramatic. The blocks are coming from further away, and the outside lane is beginning to percolate. LaJoy, Stenhouse, Joey Logano, and more up the outside.
Good cars in that outside lane, but they've stalled out just a bit right around that 8th or 9th spot. Top side led by LaJoy. Inside lane has the momentum.
While all that shuffling continues to happen, mid-pack no change in the top 5. It's still Cindric the leader. Blaney runs 2nd. Then it's Busch, Austin Dillon, and Christopher Bell.
All of this racing going on mid-pack behind race leader Austin Cindric. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on the Motor Racing Network.
You're listening to coverage of NASCAR on Real Country 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. NASCAR coverage being brought to you by Adams Super Service, your partner's network, Car Care Center, Durand.
20 laps to go in the Daytona 500. Motor Racing Network welcomes you back to the World Center of Racing and our live coverage of the Great American Race. Mike Bagley, alongside Alex Hayden and NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace. We've got turn coverage tonight from Dave Mooney, Kyle Rickey, and Tim Catalfemo, with pit and garage coverage from Steve Post, Chris Wilner, and Alan Cavana. It's getting down to crunch time here at the World Center of Racing. Team Penske right now leads the way, but Alex, they've got a pack of snarling race cars behind them.
And 19 laps to get the job done. Cindric leads Blaney, then it's Kyle Busch, Austin Dillon, and Christopher Bell. Still the middle and third lane well back.
They are indeed. They have not been able to get organized, not been able to make their way to the front. Now here comes Stenhouse looking 3 wide to the outside. He's getting all the help he can stand from Joey Logano.
Trying to squeeze Eric Jones into the middle lane off of turn number 2 is Corey LaJoy. Goes to the top of the racetrack along with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Eric Jones, little help in the middle and fading.
And it's Stenhouse's car that has been bobbling around a lot the last few laps. His car was dead sideways the last time through turn number 4. He's still getting a shove from Joey Logano.
You just got to believe that top lane with Logano in it can get a good run on their top side and get moving. The center lane, if they're kind of bobbing back and forth, the cars are real loose out there. They're jumping all over the place. But that top lane is open. If they can just get it rolling, I think they can make it to the front.
Leaders are headed to turn 2.
With every passing lap, Austin Cindric likes the fact that he can't find anybody in the rearview mirror other than right behind him.
Still a lot of 3 wide racing mid-pack. Corey LaJoy finding some momentum this time off of turn number 2 in the 8th spot a lap ago. Here comes LaJoy back into the top 5.
LaJoy now 4th in line. He is side by side with Austin Dillon with drafting help with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. LaJoy and Stenhouse now marching forward.
They are indeed. Now on the pit stop, Steve Post, you said Austin Cindric and his crew chief Brian Wilson put enough fuel in to make it to the end of the race. And no more than that, but he said the rest is up to him. They're running fastest laps of the entire race right now. What's the fuel scenario for the race leader?
If they're worried, they haven't mentioned one word about it. Now, one of the things Brian Wilson wanted to do is put him out in front. So enough fuel to make it to the final lap. Maybe that was factored in that he's going to be leading this thing to the final lap. They have not said one word on the radio about Austin Cindric and fuel. Of course, he has his teammate Ryan Blaney right there on the back bumper all the way around the racetrack.
Austin Cindric leads. Ryan Blaney is 2nd. Kyle Busch sitting right there in the draft in 3rd. 4th is Austin Dillon. 5th is Christopher Bell. The rest of the top 10 include Corey LaJoy, Riley Herbst, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Joey Logano, and Alex Bowman.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. continues to just shove Corey LaJoy forward.
Last time off turn number 2, Stenhouse loosened Corey LaJoy's fillings. He hit him so hard, but it's working. Corey's up to a battle for 3rd, now for 2nd.
Ryan Blaney to his inside. Corey Corey LaJoie to the outside lane. LaJoie looking for the race lead, heading to turn number three. Austin Cindric maintains the top spot, but only by a car length.
Here comes Corey LaJoie with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. right behind him. They are shoving for all it's worth, trying to get to the leader, Austin Cindric.
Here comes Joey Logano in the outside lane of the racetrack. Corey LaJoie and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will throw the block. They can't block them all. It is a wall of race cars behind a side-by-side battle that's two rows deep. 15 to go in the 500.
Side-by-side for the lead. Austin Cindric on the inside. Corey LaJoie on the outside. Oh, they bump. Stenhouse nearly gets turned and somehow he saves it.
Here comes Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Saves it and now gets turned. Ryan Blaney goes around in the field. Comes apart on the back straightaway. Kyle Busch goes spinning to the infield. Seven, eight cars involved on the back straightaway. Kyle Larson goes around. It's also Chase Elliott. Noah Gregson got a piece of it. And Joey Logano slows with damage against the outside wall. About eight cars coming together. What started in turn two, halfway down the back straightaway.
They were pushing and shoving, and it was getting far more physical than what we've seen the entire Daytona 500 to this point. It looked like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. absolutely shoved the Joey Logano car. They started to lose control of their cars, and Kyle Ricky, it exploded midway down the back stretch.
It did. Ryan Blaney, the first car to get sideways, and there were several other cars with nowhere to go, including Joey Logano and Kyle Busch. Noah Gregson involved. One car remains on the scene of the incident. That's Kyle Busch. Inside wall with a lot of damage. Safety teams heading to that car now, but somehow, some way, he's the only car left here on the back straightaway.
So far, the roster includes Joey Logano, Noah Gregson, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney. Joey Logano is doing everything he can to bring his car to the garage, but he cannot steer the car. Now he's halfway down the short straightaway coming to pit road, and the car just veers right with the right front flopping in the wind. Sheet metal damage, tire damage. He's trying to turn the car into pit road, Alex. He just has no control over it.
No, the steering's broken. The steering rods are broken again and again. It noses into the outside wall, and Logano still lighting up the back tires, doing a burnout, trying to get the car to the pit lane and having zero success. The right rear of the car is broken and bent all over as well.
Yeah, front and back, a lot of damage. When trouble breaks loose on the back straightaway, it all started with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who was nestled up behind the car of Corey LaJoie. Of course, you're double wide, you're three wide. Logano started to run to the middle. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. threw the block, and it's almost like the cars became attached together. Everybody in such tight formation was trying to bail out, but one contact led to another, and then all of a sudden, a handful of cars began to spin and careen out of control with 14 laps to go in the Daytona 500.
America was founded on an idea of freedom. America's always stepped forward in time of need throughout our short but powerful history.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Tear down this wall.
We've been there for all of it.
The second plane hit the tower.
Our heroes are humble. They have an inner pride to keep this idea alive. Protectors are born, they're not made. America's Secret Service is asking a few more to step forward.
Todd Gilliland has brought his car to the pit lane for damage repair. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has does the same. Noah Gregson is on the pit lane as well. 13 to go in the 500. Corey LaJoie is the race leader. From Daytona International Speedway, this is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
The year was 1993. The NASCAR Cup Series season kicked off with the Dale and Dale Show at the Daytona 500.
Dale Jarrett's got the lead. He goes to the inside. Earnhardt's not going to get him. Dale Jarrett is going to win the Daytona 500 by STP. Earnhardt second.
The 1993 NASCAR Cup Series season. All the highs and lows. Relive them all on MRN's exclusive podcast. The 1993 season. Available on podcast platforms and MRN.com.
Do you have an unused car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or RV taking up space? Put it to good use by donating it to the NASCAR Foundation. Proceeds help fund medical resources for children in our racing community. Your wheels can heal. Call 844-NASCAR-9 and we'll come tow away your vehicle for free. The process is quick and your gift is tax deductible. Call 844-NASCAR-9 to donate your vehicle to the NASCAR Foundation today. Your donation will help our children survive and thrive.
This is Ryan Preece. You're tuned in to the excitement of the NASCAR Cup Series on the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. Now back to the race.
Back at Daytona International Speedway, the cars that were involved on the crash on the back stretch have been coming on and off of pit road. Ryan Blaney, who was really flexing a lot of muscle in the 500, led 22 laps earlier, is on the pit lane. Let's get an update from the Ryan Blaney pit right now as he's in for service.
And the damage repair continues. They actually put left side tires on this time. The first time down, it was to get a sledgehammer on the right front, and it's been kind of caved in. They're worried a little bit, Mike, now about a tire rub on the right front. They've got about three reams of bare bond. They're trying to duct tape this front nose back together. The front hood also buckled a little bit. Ryan had some choice words on the radio after that incident, but said the steering wheel's fine. Feel like something's off, but if we can get this repaired up and salvage something, let's go ahead and do that. So Jonathan Hassler's instructing the crew as they continue to work on the right front, but major damage there as Blaney had a really good run going. Of course, linked up with his teammate Austin Cindric. Looked like they too were going to settle this at the very finish, but unfortunately, Ryan's chances to win the 500 all but gone now.
Nine different drivers got their first career NASCAR Cup Series win here in the Daytona 500, dating back to 1963, where Tiny Lund did it. Mario Andretti, Pete Hamilton, Derek Cope, Sterling Marlin, Michael Waltrip, Trevor Bayne, Michael McDowell, and Austin Cindric were the drivers who got their first ever Cup win in the Daytona 500. In the top eight as we run, Corey LaJoie leads. John Hunter Nemechek is third. Riley Herbst is fifth. Todd Gilliland is eighth. So four of the top eight have never won a NASCAR Cup Series race.
And it would not surprise me if that stat you gave is not expanded here tonight. Pit road is open. No takers. Everyone staying on the racetrack. They're coming across the start-finish line right now. No one to go. We're still under the caution flag with 11 laps remaining tonight. Rusty, what do you think about all this?
I think it's just absolutely crazy. I never expected this would happen, this style of wreck, this late in the race. Now, look, we know the big one happens a lot, but these guys were doing such a good job, just staying cool, everything going great. And, man, what a bad deal. What a bad deal. I'm just trying to think how I can mentally take this. This is a tough, tough deal. We had so much momentum, but I guarantee you, I don't know if it's over or not yet, guys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Rusty. Next time by, there will be 10 laps to go. Here's how they are being scored here on lap number 189.
Corey LaJoie, your leader. Austin Cindric second. John Hunter Nemechek is third. Denny Hamlin is fourth. Austin Dillon is fifth. Christopher Bell is up to sixth. You've got Eric Jones in seventh. Riley Herbst in eighth. Cole Custer in ninth. And Daniel Suarez running right now in tenth.
Alex Bowman is 11th. Bubba Wallace is 12th. Brad Keselowski 13th. Chase Briscoe goes 14th. And William Byron 15th. 16th is Ty Gibbs. 17th is Justin Allgaier. 18th is Ryan Preece. 19th, Kyle Larson. And 20th is Tyler Reddick.
Cody Ware is 21st. 22nd is Chase Elliott after he was involved with a spin in this most recent crash. 23rd right now is Carson Hocevar. Justin Haley is 24th and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is 25th. Michael McDowell runs right now in 26th. Chris Buescher is 27th. Jimmy Johnson 28th. Ryan Blaney is 29th and Todd Gilliland is 30th.
Gilliland is still on the lead lap. He is the last car on the lead lap. 31st, two laps down is Ty Dillon. 32nd is Noah Gregson. He is the last car still considered in the race. From 33rd on back, at the moment, they're either off the track or out of the race. 33rd is Kyle Busch, 34th Joey Logano, 35th Shane Van Gisbergen, 36th Zane Smith, 37th Josh Berry, 38th Martin Truex Jr., 39th Elio Castro Neves, 40th Ross Chastain, and 41st AJ Allmendinger.
We continue under the caution flag as cleanup should be just about wrapped up. Kyle Ricky, what's the status over there on the backstretch?
It is wrapped up. Kyle Busch's car, the only car that needed to be towed away, heading back to the NASCAR Cup Series garage. All the debris blown to the infield or cleaned up, and all the safety trucks heading back behind the wall just to my left here in turn three.
With all of the rolling wounded race cars out there with 10 to go, now is the fear of a debris caution with something flying off of one of these race cars. Rusty, we're down to just 10 to go.
Yeah, we are. And you know what? The top five cars, I'm looking at the top five out there, three of them are past Daytona 500 winners. I mean, they got some good talent up in front of this thing. Austin Dillon, that's a strong Chevrolet. What about Denny Hamlin? We haven't seen Hamlin much up front throughout the day, but he's got himself up in the fourth position right now. Cindric, he won the 500 a couple years ago. He can get it done. And then LaJoy, he's proved he's been fast all day long. That little team that can do it, it just might do it.
It's amazing to watch the interesting mix that you just described. You've got the mix of folks that have been here before, and you've also got the mix of who Alex just told us has never won a cup race before and is in position to perhaps maybe do it in the 500. We've got 10 laps to go, and the field will get the one-to-go signal when they get here, which will mean we'll go back under the green flag with 8 laps remaining in the Great American Race.
The drivers will have the chance to choose what lane to restart in. There are 2 Ford Mustangs. They go first and second. Then 2 Toyota Camrys, third and fourth. The lone Chevrolet in the top 9 in Austin Dillon will choose fifth. And then 3 more Toyotas lined up. So you've got 5 Toyotas in the top 8.
Amazing how this is all boiled down. What a day we've had in Daytona. And of course, after we throw the checkered flag of the Great American Race, the NASCAR Cup Series, heading off to the Atlanta Motor Speedway, then off to COTA, we will pick the NASCAR Cup Series up again at the Phoenix Raceway. That'll come your way the weekend of March 7th through 9th. We'll have triple header coverage for you with the ARCA Menard Series, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and then of course, we'll cap off our coverage with the NASCAR Cup Series Shriner Children's 500 on Sunday, March 9th. Of course, you can hear all the action right here on the Motor Racing Network.
Well, the choice has been made. The Ford of LaJoy goes to the inside lane. The Ford of Cindric goes to the outside lane. And then the Toyotas choose. John Hunter Nemechek, he went to the inside lane. Denny Hamlin chooses the outside lane. So manufacturers, well, you can throw that one right out the window.
Yep, I think that, we was talking about you spend 95% of this race trying to make all those teammates and you make all those friends. We're in that 5% right now, Rusty, where all that goes out the window and it's every man for himself.
Yeah, what about the 2 Daytona 500 winners? They hook up and go to the top side of the racetrack. And they're both super fast cars, we know that.
And the 2 drivers that have never won a NASCAR Cup Series race will go 1-2 on the inside of the racetrack. So we've got all veterans, but there's a lot of pride on the line, and everybody wants to win the Daytona 500. Heck, they want to win their first ever race in Corey LaJoy and John Hunter Nemechek.
Well, this race has had the penchant for ending under the caution flag and for going into overtime. We're hopeful that everybody will mind their P's and Q's, mind their manners, and perhaps maybe allow us to race back to the black and white checkered flag. But right now, what an opportunity for Corey LaJoy. What an opportunity for Austin Cindric to become a 2-time winner of the Daytona 500. But what about John Hunter Nemechek, Legacy Motor Club? That would be a huge win for that organization. And then Denny Hamlin sitting right there, he is trying to become a 4-time winner of the Great American Race.
Fact of the matter is we're going to have 8 laps to race, and a lot of things can happen here in the last 8 laps. You may be running 18th right now and still win this Daytona 500. Here they come up off of turn number 4. Mike, we get set for the restart with 8 laps to go.
Pace vehicle hits the pit lane. Everybody pull those belts tight. Everybody gets settled in. This is going to be a wild one. Green back in the air. Everybody through the restart zone. John Hunter Nemechek's already trying to find a way by Corey LaJoy. Austin Cindric now racing to LaJoy's outside, side by side. For the lead, they race to the corner.
LaJoy by a nose into turn number 1. Now he'll pull away. Half a car length, 3/4, full car length. He drifts up in front of Austin Cindric as John Hunter Nemechek fails to keep pace.
He'll lead the bottom lane, does Nemechek. A bit slower on the inside. Outside high lane comes up to speed. Here's LaJoy crossing back over, but Nemechek's not close enough. Outside lane advances, Cindric to the front.
Austin Cindric with a great move to the outside of Corey LaJoy. He'll grab the lead. Denny Hamlin continues to shove. Austin Cindric in second, Christopher Bell to third.
Denny Hamlin in second does indeed have a friendly on the back bumper. His teammate, Christopher Bell. Then another Toyota lines up there. Riley Herbst is in the number four spot. The front four break away, go nose to tail to one.
Perhaps for the first time in history here at Daytona, the numbers favor Toyota at the front of the pack. Here they come. Cindric with the lead. Hamlin is second. Bell is third. Three car lengths to Riley Herbst.
Riley Herbst in position number four. That's where the nose to nose and side-by-side racing begins. Herbst to the inside. Now one car darts out of line, looking for the race lead. Here comes Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin with drafting help from Christopher Bell goes to the lead here in the Daytona 500. Hamlin now crosses over, goes back down to the bottom of the racetrack and screams back to the front straightaway.
Denny Hamlin has brought a teammate along for the ride as well. Here's Christopher Bell. Have not heard anything out of Christopher Bell all day long, but right now he's poised in position and ready to pounce with six laps to go.
Into turn number one they go, and it's side by side. Hamlin on the inside. Bell trying to creep up and get even on the outside. Wow, he nearly lost it. Rockets up the bank and comes right back after Hamlin.
Christopher Bell goes way up the racetrack, hangs on to a challenge for the race lead, side by side with Denny Hamlin up the back straightaway. Bell inches out front in the three.
Bell and Hamlin neck and neck for the race lead. In row two, you've got Cole Custer and Austin Cindric. They've got nowhere to go because Bell and Hamlin have both lanes blocked.
Five laps to go in the Daytona 500. Side by side at the front of the field. Side by side all the way through the lead trap. Denny Hamlin to the inside. Christopher Bell goes topside. Joe Gibbs racing Toyotas at the front.
We barely mentioned Cole Custer tonight, but all of a sudden he is right there on the back bumper of the Christopher Bell machine, riding strong in the number four spot. Hamlin by a nose off turn two.
Cole Custer, second car, topside. Austin Cindric to his inside. That's row two behind the Toyotas of Denny Hamlin and Christopher Bell. And now Bell gets turned. Front of the field. Several cars go flying through the air. Ryan Preece is upside down into the outside wall. A huge hit for Ryan Preece as 7, 8, 9 other cars become involved. Chase Elliott goes for a spin. Justin Allgaier, several others now spin to the inside, but a huge hit. And Ryan Preece, for the second time in 3 years, goes flying through the air here in turn three, landing on his roof, slamming the outside wall on the banking of turn three while upside down here at this end of the racetrack.
And he comes back on all four wheels. What an intense crash at Daytona International Speedway. Four laps to go in the Daytona 500 when the pack came flying apart in front of Kyle Ricci.
Started right at the front of the field. The two Toyotas were running side by side, and it looked like a bump draft gone bad in the outside lane. Turned Christopher Bell into the outside wall just as the cars were about to arc into turn number three, and it was on from there. Cars went spinning to the inside and outside. Somebody clipped Ryan Preece as he just hit another car, and it was just at the wrong angle that sent that car into the air. It took a while for that car to invert, but boy, once the air got underneath it, the car flew through the air upside down and into the outside wall, fortunately coming to rest on all four wheels at the bottom of the banking.
We can see through the binoculars Ryan Preece got out of the race car under his own power and walked to the ambulance for the mandatory trip to the infield care center. We are headed to overtime in the Daytona 500.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and skip the regular line at the airport and pay for speedy security. Imagine not having to quickly unpack and pack at the place you already came back to. And wearing your shoes the whole time you're there? You can't put a price on that kind of luxury. Well, actually you can, and you paid for it. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for speedy security. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the Chevy Lightning Round. Guess the clues to win. First team, you're up.
Powerful, commanding, unstoppable.
Silverado.
Adventurous, fun, techie.
Trailblazer.
Stylish, nimble.
Trax.
Innovative, electric.
Blazer EV.
Lightning Round champions. You've guessed all the right Chevy clues.
Wherever the year takes you, explore it together in the Chevy of your choice. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
I may have spoken a bit prematurely. They have stopped the cars on the Daytona Super Stretch just off of turn number two, still with four laps to go in the race while cleanup continues. Not necessarily going to overtime just yet. Denny Hamlin is the race leader from Daytona International Speedway. This is the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is Chase Briscoe. You're tuned in to the excitement of the NASCAR Cup Series on the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. Now, back to the race.
Under the red flag here in the Daytona 500 for the third time today. This one for the big crash at the exit of the Daytona Superstretch heading into Turn 3. The other two red flags were for rain when the sun, well, I say sun, when it was daylight.
Yes. Yeah, we had two red flags for rain earlier this afternoon. We've had some great racing, and obviously, we've just had a very intense crash off the end of the Daytona Superstretch. Ryan Preece getting up in the air. Others were collected as well. And this is part of it, Alex. We get down to the end of the 500. Everybody rooting and gouging, trying to grab every inch of real estate they can possibly find. And what we've seen tonight is when you get cars in that close proximity, they begin bouncing off each other. They become stuck, and then all of a sudden it breaks loose, and that's exactly what we just saw with Ryan Preece going up and over for the second time in his Cup career here at Daytona.
Well, you know, the one thing that's in common, it seems like it happens all the time, it's always a bump draft that goes bad, and it's not like you get hit in a quarter panel or hit in the side. It seems like when we get late in these races and we're bump drafting so hard, trying to get some positions going, trying to make it happen, this stuff happens. But I will tell you guys, I don't know if I've ever seen a car go up in the air, look like an airplane getting ready to take off as Ryan Preece did. That was a crazy looking deal.
Yeah, he did again get out of the race car under his own power. As a matter of fact, he dropped the window net as soon as the car stopped moving, which is the sign to all the safety teams and the NASCAR officials that he is okay as a driver. So that is the best news out of all for Ryan Preece. But don't you know, he's probably tired of going upside down at the end of the backstretch at Daytona.
I would definitely agree with that. I'm sure he would concur as well. Let's go to the Advent Healthcare Center.
And Kyle Busch has just come out of the care center. Unfortunate, familiar story. Strong car, early into your night. What happened, Kyle?
Couldn't tell you. I ain't seen it.
All right. But you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Short answers from Kyle Busch. Hadn't seen the replay yet, but he's out of the care center and out of the Daytona 500.
Understandably frustrated after Kyle Busch had a couple of pit miscues early in the race, got him in the back, got him swept up in a crash. They were able to put Humpty Dumpty back together and get him out there and contend at the front of the field before he gets swept up in another crash and ultimately ends his night.
This was his 20th attempt to win the Daytona 500, and obviously it did not come up the way he wanted it to.
That is frustrating. I've tried to win the 500 for so many years and couldn't get it done. But I'll tell you what, he's had a great car tonight. That's the one thing I can say. He was up front a ton. When Richard Childress goes back home and talks to his guys, he can honestly say we had some fast hot rods here, you guys. We just didn't get it done with the 8 car, but they had fast cars.
Rusty, you mentioned yourself not being able to win the Daytona 500. The list of some of the greatest to ever do this, to never win the biggest race in the sport, the Daytona 500. 10 NASCAR Hall of Famers have never won the Daytona 500, including Terry Labonte, Mark Martin, Ricky Rudd, who we just enshrined last weekend, Bobby Labonte, Rusty, of course, Tony Stewart's never won it, Carl Edwards, Bobby Isaac, Ned Jarrett, Alan Kowicki. Hall of Famers never won the Daytona 500.
And we've got drivers in this race. Look at Martin Truex Jr. Tonight was his 21st 500. Tonight was Kyle Busch's 20th 500. This race, why, Rusty, is it so hard to win this race?
It's because you got to rely on other people, not your team, other drivers. You can go to Charlotte, Michigan. You can have the fastest car. You can have a car that handles really, really good. It sticks good. You got fast pit stops. Well, you can do the same thing here, but if you don't have somebody else helping you draft, helping you work with you to get your car to the front, that's a limiting factor. You can have the best of everything, but it's not enough. You need somebody else, and a lot of times somebody else is your competitor.
That's part of it, and then also getting into wrecks because of somebody else. That's got to be frustrating because you yourself have taken some big tumbles at these tracks.
Well, this happening here is no secret. I mean, this is what happened. It gets so intense at the very end. This is the biggest race of the year. The Daytona 500 is the one everybody wants to win, so they're driving harder than they've ever driven in their life. And you can almost see this coming looking down at the competitors. But, hey, that's Daytona. We love Daytona. It's our biggest race of the year.
And right now, the red flag has been withdrawn. The yellow flag has been put back out. Cleanup is just about buttoned up in front of you, Kyle Ricky.
It is. All the safety trucks have been back to the infield. Did some work onto the racetrack. It looked like there might have been a piece of debris or maybe a divot that the officials worked on for a brief moment in turn three where that car landed on the racetrack roof first. But they made fixes to the racetrack in quick order and have since made their way back to the infield.
Now, there are some drivers and teams that are clearly concerned about Sunoco fuel in the tank because they are beginning Tim Catalfamo to run down towards the apron of the racetrack here under the caution flag.
Yeah, there are two drivers that I can see entering turn number four that are on that apron, Alex Hayden. One of them is Bubba Wallace. The other one is Kyle Larson. Those are the only two for now. Bubba Wallace has some significant damage to his Toyota Camry. He was one of the drivers that was involved in that crash. Heavy right side damage along with the left side of his Toyota Camry. Kyle Larson also with some damage as well. But fuel could be an issue for these drivers as we get perilously close to the finish.
So all the drivers involved in this crash include Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Bubba Wallace, Justin Allgaier got a piece. Cole Custer did as well along with Eric Jones, Ryan Preece, and Daniel Suarez.
And here come some of those cars that were involved in the crash, but Chase Elliott, Justin Allgaier, they're in front of Steve Post.
Chase Elliott, he slid down through the grass there. They've come in and just kind of work all the way around the car. This is more of a routine stop. They feel like I've got everything cleared off from that car. Going to be four tires. They're going to make sure he has Sunoco racing fuel. Justin Allgaier's had damage from an earlier crash out there, and they're working on the left side of the Justin Allgaier Junior Motor Sport Chevy. The fender is rolled right off from that thing. The left front fender is off that car of Justin Allgaier.
Go to the Advent Healthcare Center, Alan.
Unbelievably quickly, we're talking with Ryan Preece. You're out of the care center first and foremost after that wreck. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just pissed off. Just because, I mean, we had a really good car and keep hearing about all these different ways we're going to use to keep these cars on the ground, and we failed to do that, so.
Product of circumstance. What happened in front of you?
Honestly, I don't even know. I haven't seen a replay. Just kind of in line pushing, and you know, when you get down to the end of these races, we're all just really aggressive, and we have to be aggressive, and it's just the position you're in. So we had a really fast buildsubmarines.com Ford Mustang, and just frustrating when you can't do anything with it.
Glad to see you're okay. Ryan Preece already out of the care center.
That is great news, and understandably upset. Two of the last three Daytona 500s, he's gone upside down in virtually the same part of the racetrack. We now are officially going into overtime here for the Daytona 500, and that means the rules are as follows. The green flag will come out, will go up to speed if the caution flies before the leader gets back around to the start-finish line to take the white flag. We will slow everybody down, clean up the caution, line them up, and do it all again. Unlimited attempts at a green-white checker. However, in overtime, if the green flag goes out, we race all the way around. The leader takes the white flag at the start-finish line. The next flag ends the race, whether they continue under green and get to the checkered flag, or if there's a caution and NASCAR has to put the yellow out, they'll freeze the field. Whoever's leading will be scored the winner.
Back to the Advent Healthcare Center.
Mr. Ferbell out of the care center. You were in the right position to win this race. What happened?
Super speedway racing. That's how it goes. It takes pushes. You got to be pushing. Otherwise, you're going backwards. And I don't know. Just in position, it's all you can ask for.
The nature of this racing, was there anything wrong with that push that you took?
I had my hands full for a while, but, you know, it's Daytona. It's Daytona. You have to be doing that. Otherwise, otherwise you're not going to be going forward. So it's a product of the racing that we have here.
All right, Christopher Bell out, but okay. Agonizingly close to a Daytona 500 win.
It was, and obviously frustrated. You're going to have frustrated drivers when they found themselves at the front. Now let's hear from Joey Logano at the care center.
Joey Logano out of the care center. It was a tough wreck out there. It started with an incident between you and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. What happened from your perspective?
Yeah, from my perspective, I felt like to win the race, I had to get to the second row. In my line there. I was third in line. I needed to get to second. Saw the opportunity to jump down and try to get underneath the 47 and have the another four behind me there. And then when 47 got through a late block there, I checked up for it. And then it looked like he was going to go back up and grab the top lane. So then I went back in to try to close the gap again. And then he just kept kind of coming down. At that point, I'm checking up, but at that point, the checkups already happened behind me, and everybody's all over each other, and I can't get out of it. And then we made contact. So it's unfortunate. We had a good Shell Penzo Mustang. We had a fast car. Won a stage, which was great. Just couldn't get it all done.
Glad you're okay.
Green flag back in the air. Two laps to go. We are in NASCAR overtime. Denny Hamlin leads the field back to one.
Hamlin gets the jump at the drop of the green flag. He's got the bottom of the racetrack, but he's got no drafting help. Austin Cindric, he's got drafting help. He will power around the outside of Hamlin. Austin Cindric to the lead with Cole Custer.
With a big shove from Cole Custer in the outside lane, Hamlin, who is leading going into turn number one, reaches the end of the back straightaway, running in fourth. Top three, nose to tail. Austin Cindric, the race leader.
Hamlin trying to rally back on the inside of the racetrack, but it's Austin Cindric, the leader, in the turn four. Cindric goes down to the bottom and blocks Denny Hamlin.
Off turn number four, the field thunders back to the start-finish line. White flag is in the air. Here comes Cindric. Next flag ends the Great American Race. Riley Herbst is out of shape. He slides across the track, comes back, keeps it pointed in the right direction. We go to turn one.
Field stays under green. Cindric remains at the point. Hamlin's all over his back bumper. Denny looks high. Denny looks low. Can't make the move off two.
Side by side from third on back now. Denny Hamlin steps out of line up the back straightaway. Hamlin looking for the lead. They get turned at the front of the field and the front comes apart. Hamlin in the outside wall. William Byron leads into the corner.
They're still racing into the corner. William Byron out in front by two car lengths over Tyler Reddick as they exit four.
Here comes William Byron. Here comes Tyler Reddick racing into the tri-oval. Checkered flag is in the air. William Byron wins the Daytona 500 and becomes a two-time winner, a back-to-back winner of the Great American Race. Tyler Reddick comes along in second, and seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion Jimmy Johnson now unofficially in third. What a finish to this one tonight at the World Center of Racing.
Rudy Fugel and that entire team got back the car they won last year's Daytona 500 just before they climbed in and got this race going. Let's go to their pit lane.
Oh, just got to the top of the pit box. Rudy Fugel, two in a row. What was it like in that final lap?
I have no idea. I don't know what happened. That's crazy. That was lucky, but we'll take it. Woo!
Take it any way you can. What do you say about your driver to do this type of racing in this big of a race 2 years in a row?
Yeah, I mean, he stayed with it. You know, we were 20th with eight to go, and whew, it was his whole team stayed with it. We got a great team, so happy with this team, and Exalta Chevy, can't believe him. Hendrick, with Mr. H is still here, but man, what a win.
Back-to-back, that's historic. What does this mean to you?
Everything. It means everything. It's unbelievable. Start kicking off here. What a race, and what a start to 2025.
Back-to-back Daytona 500 champions for Rudy Fugler, William Byron of the 24 team.
And Hendrick Motorsports has done it again. They came into this 500 tied with Penske Enterprises for the most wins. Now, Hendrick Motorsports, the all-time winners of the Daytona 500.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's county fair. I'm going
to
be...
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
NASCAR's only street race returns to the streets of Chicago July 5th and 6th. Lock in your ticket to summer thrills now. Visit NASCARChicago.com for more.
The dry spell is over for Alex Bowman. One 90-degree right-hand turn remains. He makes it perfectly out onto the front straightaway. Checkered flag is in the air, and Alex Bowman has won in the streets of Chicago.
NASCAR Live Race Day continues on the Motor Racing Network.
Ending to the 67th Daytona 500, William Byron is now a two-time winner, a back-to-back winner, and right now his Hendrick Motorsports team has greeted him on the tri-oval grass. William out of the car, up onto the roof, and he dives into the pit crew mosh pit.
That's pretty good. A bit of a stage dive off the roof of that race car. Let's go to pit lane, hear from some of the other top finishers.
Jimmy Johnson comes home in the third spot, hugs all around. Jimmy, I don't know what your expectations were coming into this week, but you just finished third in the Daytona 500. How the heck did you get up there to the front?
Oh, wow, what an experience. We tried to play it smart, and Chad had a great strategy for the third segment. Unfortunately, on one of the pit stops, we got blocked in and lost our track position, but still had a great car and a straight car, and then there at the end I was able to make my way through the crash in the back and was in a good position, and here we are. This is great.
Congratulations. All these people want to celebrate with you, but also, too, just for Legacy Motor Club, you got John Hunter in the top five, too.
Yeah, two in the top five. I hate Eric. Had some trouble. Shaq, I hope you're listening. We got your car on the podium. Just an incredible experience. Thank you to Carvana, Toyota, Dollar Tree, Advent Health. There are so many partners part of this program that are helping us grow as an organization, and the club had a good night.
There's a big fist pump from Jimmy Johnson. Seven-time gets out of the race car in a top three finisher here at the Daytona 500, Allen.
Pole setter Chase Briscoe brings it home fourth. Bring me through that last lap. What kind of chance did you have?
Yeah, it was crazy. We restarted, I think, eighth. And the C's kind of just kept parting for me. Like, everything honestly went my way up until the very end there down the back straightaway. They all split off kind of three wide, and the 11 car were just sitting there for me. And I was like, I'm going to push Denny to the win. You know, JGR is going to win with, you know, my first race here. And when I hit him, like, we all came together. I haven't seen it yet. But, yeah, and then somehow was able to keep it straight and obviously ended up fourth. So, yeah, great way for us to start the year. Obviously, would have loved to win the race, right? But for us to come here and run in the top five is really cool, you know, for our first race. So hopefully this is what we'll be doing all year long.
Great debut for Chase Briscoe.
John Hunter Nemechek finishes the top five in fifth. John Hunter, looked like second half of this race, this Toyota really came to life, and then suddenly you and Jimmy are up there at the end. Describe the chaos of the last couple laps.
It's a green white checkered hit Daytona. I wouldn't really expect anything less. I don't really know what happened on the back straightaway there. I know everyone was pushing hard, and next thing I knew there was smoke, and I got hit in the left side door, right side door. We managed to keep it straight, and Jimmy blew my doors off. I don't think he ever lifted for it. So strong run by Legacy Motor Club. Eric in the duels, and then up front for majority of the day, and then Jimmy coming home third and myself fifth. So solid day, solid week, I would say, to Speed Weeks for the Legacy Motor Club group. Excited to see what this year has. We already know that we're better than last year. Just how much better is the unknown.
The company continues to grow. Legacy Motor Club putting a stamp on the beginning of 2025. Two cars in the top five. That was John Hunter, who finished in the fifth spot. Mike and Alex.
What an unbelievable ending of this one. I mean, when we went into Media Day, Alex, Wednesday, when we sat down and we talked with all these drivers, didn't think that perhaps maybe Jimmy Johnson would be finishing in the top five. Didn't know that John Hunter Nemechek and Legacy Motor Club, after the challenges that they've had in the last year or two, would emerge and walk away from the season opening race with two top five finishes.
Absolutely amazing. Tyler Reddick kept his foot in it and tried all he could, Alan Cabana, to try to get by William Byron.
Good description. You kept your foot in it, did all you could. How do you describe that last lap? I know, so close.
Yeah, I mean, for where we came from, I mean, you just have to be happy with it, right? But it's still the Daytona 500, and I mean, I saw the cars on the inside spinning, and I'm just like, man, I'm closing my eyes, but I'm just like, man, come on, just don't hit me. And yeah, 11 got us a little bit, scrubbed our speed, and that pretty much took care of me having a shot at the 24.
You haven't taken your eyes off the 24 celebrating. Is it hard to watch?
Well, you know, every year we come here, get to go out, you know, we get to sit here and talk about it and look out at people celebrating, and we'll keep working at it. Obviously, the day in general wasn't really great. We still struggle to, you know, get stage points every time at this race, but we're going the right direction. We at least made some good decisions at the end to give us the opportunity we had there, so we'll build on it. But yeah, you know, you never want to run second in the 500, that's for sure.
Yeah, guys, until today, Chris, Tyler Reddick's best finish in the 500 was 27th. He comes home second today.
Yeah, the silver lining is he kicks off his 2025 campaign with a fantastic finish. Cole Custer was a driver that was involved in that late race skirmish. Let's hear from Cole Custer.
All Cole Custer can do now is look at the what is left of his Ford Mustang Dark Horse. Cole, the seas began to part there at the end. You saw a glimpse of maybe what could have been. What maybe could you have done differently coming to the checkered flag?
I probably should have waited till the front stretch to make my move. I had a huge run on the 11, and I decided to take it because, I mean, it was just a huge run. I felt like I had to take it. But the 19 won with the 11. I was just praying that maybe he'd maybe stay with me, but I knew he was probably going to go with him. But it was just such a big run, I had to take it. I mean, this is the biggest race of our lives. This is the top of our sport. We're all just going for it, you know. I mean, we're pushing hard, side drafting hard, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I can't say enough about our guys, everybody at the Haas Factory team. I mean, they worked so hard this week. We had to replace pretty much everything on this car, and we brought someone that could still compete for a win today. And just wish we had a few more corners to be in the front.
What kind of a statement is this opening weekend? I mean, two of the Haas Factory Xfinity cars in the top five yesterday. You're in the top, you know, had a shot at the win today. I mean, couldn't imagine a better start to 2025 as a company.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a good start. I mean, it's just a great group of people, you know, people that want to make things better, want to try and fix problems, and just communicate good and work together. So I can't say enough about our group. They worked like dogs all week on this car, and to have ourselves a shot at the win was definitely awesome.
All right, that's Cole Custer, finished 21st, but boy, what a showing for Haas Factory team overall this weekend.
What a great weekend for Haas Factory team, as Chris just mentioned, with the successes of a day ago, and obviously having a chance to win the Daytona 500 just coming up a half a lap short when basically the pack came apart on the final lap coming to the checkered flag. A massive fireworks display has just ended after William Byron is celebrating the win tonight, from fueling your favorite NASCAR teams to filling up at the pump. Sunoco is trusted to help vehicles perform at their peak. Sunoco, performance is what we do.
William Byron knows exactly the way to get to victory lane at the World Center of Racing. He's made the turn in behind the pit wall, stopped for just a moment. His teammate Kyle Larson came running out, leaned into the window to congratulate him. And now William Byron will weave the car through the crowd, underneath the stanchions, and make a right-hand turn in the most hallowed ground in NASCAR racing.
Steve Post is standing by. A lot of folks are standing by to greet William Byron, who actually now becomes the fifth driver to win back-to-back 500s. Richard Petty, obviously, is on that list, and a list of others that have accomplished this, including Lee Petty, Cale Yarborough, Jeff Gordon, and the last to do it was Dale Jarrett back in 1999 and 2000. William Byron has arrived, and the entire Hendrick Motorsports team, not just from the 24, but the 5, the 48, and the 9, all going to congregate and celebrate the successes of what has just happened here in Daytona. Let's go to Victory Lane now.
William Byron down here. The Exalta colors on the Chevrolet. This is a little bit of a throwback paint scheme to Jeff Gordon and a little bit of a William Byron paint scheme as everybody from Hendrick Motorsports has gathered here, and William Byron is getting ready to climb out of this race car and do a celebration. And I believe he is on the phone with Mr. Hendrick. So we will allow that phone call and that conversation to take place. But Rudy Fugel, he has snuggled right up to that Harley J. Earl trophy. The rest of the team is celebrating, and they're ready for William Byron to climb out of this car, and he is getting ready to climb out of the car. William Byron is set to go, and here he comes out of this race car. He slides up out of the race car. Hey, gives a thumbs up to the crew. There he is, out of the race car, on the side of it, up, standing on the door of the race car. A Daytona 500 champion for the second consecutive year. William Byron does it here at Daytona. William, wow. The last lap of that race, can you even describe how that unfolded?
No, it was insane. I just knew to, we had a lot of debate on the choose mobility, you know, and be able to change lanes, you know, based on momentum loss. And just through one and two, I got to about sixth, and I could see those guys starting to get squirrely, and I just chose to go to the top, and I was already kind of committed to that lane. And then they started spinning, and I just had forward momentum and was able to stay wide open through it. So just insane. You know, it's Daytona. Anything can happen, and we know that. So we never lost hope in those last few laps and just tried to line up with a shot to win.
You mentioned you never lost hope. How did that race unfold, though? Because we didn't talk about you too much in that race. How did it unfold?
Yeah, no, we were kind of mired in the back. We had a few opportunities to get towards the front, but nothing materialized. We just kept getting caught in bad track position, and at the end we just kept moving forward and had a good couple restarts. Obviously missed a few of the wrecks, and it worked out. So crazy.
Five times a driver's gone back to back. You're number six. What does this mean to be a six-time back to back Daytona 500 champ? As now Rick Hendrick's on the phone. What does it mean, real quick?
Pretty crazy. It's thanks to Exalta and Chevrolet, and I'm about to talk to the boss. So let me take this.
Bigger name on the other line, William Byron, a back to back champion here at the Daytona 500 as he picks up the win here at Daytona. Jeff Gordon, Chad Knaus is in here giving him a big hug. As they celebrate down here, winning the Daytona 500. Jeff, there's a little bit of your paint scheme on the car. There's a little bit of William Byron on the car. What's it mean to you to be in victory lane here in Daytona?
This is amazing. You know, it was such a special moment earlier with William and folks from Exalta and Daytona and Rick Hendrick. And we were picking up the old car that's been here for a year since that win last year. And it was so special. And we talked about how we have 9 wins here at Daytona, Rick does, and that's tied with the Petties, and how bad we wanted 10 and got it done today. That was just incredible. It was so unexpected because there was so much chaos there at the end. I had no idea. Bowman was in position and had a shot at it, and when that crash happened, I had no idea, and all of a sudden I saw this bright car go through there, and I think, that's the Exalta car. So, man, this is amazing. So proud of William, Rudy, and the whole team. And thank Exalta and Chevrolet. It's amazing experience to be here in Victory Lane again.
Always good to see Jeff Gordon, and good to see him in Victory Lane here at Daytona International Speedway.
And just a programming reminder, you will hear from the race-winning team from the Daytona 500 Tuesday night on NASCAR Live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on NASCAR Live Wide Open Thursday right here on the Motor Racing Network.
Let's go back downstairs to hear from Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin out here on pit road. He was in position to win his fourth Daytona 500 in the lead on the backstretch. Denny, that's where you want to be. What happened? You've seen all the replays now.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, I thought the 41 just came down, too many lanes. You know, I thought it was going to be a great opportunity for him to have a really good chance. But the push that he had, I didn't think he kind of needed to, you know, come down and crowd us, but he did. And, you know, it's easy in the split second moment to panic and this is what I got to do to win. But I thought there was an ample opportunity there for us to kind of race it side by side off of turn four. But we never made it that far because I thought that the 41 generally just came left and ended up getting us turned around.
You overcame a lot in this race. How was it with Chris Gayle and the start to the season?
Man, I wanted to win, you know, for him and the whole Joe Gibbs team badly. I mean, I'd won my last two crew chiefs that I started with. I'd won with them in this race, and I honestly thought we were going to do it again. I thought the race was going to be over when the front stretch wreck happened. And then when I realized they're not going to throw this caution, you know, I timed a run on the two, got to him in the corner, and then had him in a vulnerable spot where he wasn't going to be able to block. And so I went high thinking, okay, the run's coming from the high side. Let me get up there and control this. 41 was coming such a big run. I just couldn't. It was going to be good for one of us, but it ended up not good for either of us.
Denny Hamlin was in position, everything he wanted, just not the finish.
That was a tough break for Denny Hamlin. It really was. But it is over here in Daytona. The top five finishers came across the line. From sixth on back is going to be unofficial because of the crashing that was going on. William Byron has gone back to back. William Byron's won the Daytona 500. Tyler Reddick was second. Jimmy Johnson was third. Chase Briscoe fourth. John Hunter Nemechek was fifth. We've heard from all five of the top finishers. Alex Bowman, again, this is unofficial from here on back. Alex Bowman sixth. Ryan Blaney seventh. Austin Cindric eighth, Justin Allgaier in Junior Motorsports' debut in the Cup Series finishes ninth, and Chris Buescher was 10th.
Michael McDowell finishes 11th, Daniel Suarez was 12th, Eric Jones was 13th, Ty Dillon 14th, Chase Elliott 15th, Riley Herbst finished in 16th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was 17th, Ty Gibbs 18th, Justin Haley 19th, Kyle Larson finishes the 500 in 20th.
Cole Custer 21st, Denny Hamlin 22nd, Corey LaJoie 23rd, Cody Ware was 24th and Austin Dillon 25th. Brad Keselowski 26th. Todd Gilliland was 27th. Noah Gregson 28th. Bubba Wallace 29th. And Carson Hocevar was 30th.
Christopher Bell finished in 31st. It was Ryan Preece in 32nd. Shane Van Gisbergen in 33rd. 34th was Kyle Busch. 35th went to Joey Logano with 36th Zane Smith. 37th Josh Berry. 38th Martin Truex Jr. 39th Elio Castro Neves. Ross Chastain came home in 40th. And the 41st finisher was A.J. Allmendinger. Rusty Wallace, final thoughts from the Daytona 500.
Never seen nothing like it. I mean, such intense driving, it was incredible. Stage one, crazy. Stage two, crazy. And at the very end of the Daytona 500, that was expected. What a great race.
Alex, your thoughts?
Spectacular. There was, for the first time, a bonus point to be given out for the Xfinity fastest lap of the entire race. Right now, we've got it at Michael McDowell, turned a lap at 199.252 miles per hour. Furthermore, William Byron is now a playoff driver for the year 2025.
And just like that, we're off and running. In 2025, the NASCAR Cup Series heads off to the Atlanta Motor Speedway next weekend. Our friends at the Performance Racing Network will have coverage there. I'd like to thank Dave Moody, Kyle Ricci, and Tim Catalfamo for covering the action in the corners tonight. Our thanks to Steve Post, Chris Wilner, and Alan Cavana in the pits in the garage area. For NASCAR Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace and my broadcast partner Alex Hayden, I'm Mike Bagley. We wish you so long from Daytona, and we congratulate Hendrick Motorsports and William Byron as winners of the 67th Daytona 500.
Motor Racing Network's coverage of the Daytona 500 has come to you from Daytona International Speedway. Brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo Racing information, visit TGRNA.com. By eBay. eBay. Things people love. By Powerball, the official lottery game of NASCAR and home to the NASCAR Powerball Playoff. By Progressive, save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com. By Straight Talk Wireless, real unlimited data for fans of fast. Official partner of NASCAR. By Wendy's Breakfast and by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco fuels peak performance.
Our coverage has come to you under an exclusive radio license granted by Daytona International Speedway to the Motor Racing Network, solely for the non-commercial use of our listening audience. Any use of the descriptions and accounts of this event without the express written permission of the Motor Racing Network is prohibited. Today's broadcast was directed by Ryan Horn, associate producer Trey Downey, broadcast engineer Steve Fridley, studio engineer Andy Pichenik, audio engineer Craig Moore. The president of MRN is Chris Schwartz. Follow NASCAR every day at MRN.com. This broadcast was a production of the Motor Racing Network.
No further exemption. Just a big red goodbye and lipstick on the wall. Goodbye says it all. No long explanation. No reconciliation. No let's talk it over number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Says it all. No long explanation. No reconciliation. No let's talk it over number I can call. Goodbye says it all.
We got you covered from Dell to Dawn to Dixie on My Mind. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
All he could think about was, I'm too young for this. Got my whole life ahead. Hell, I'm just a kid myself.